the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. Joining us today, Ryan Nanny. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I have been thinking a lot about doppelgangers lately.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the trope is that if you have one of you is the evil doppelganger. And that's at least narratively interesting, that like there might be a version, if you are a good person, there might be a version out there. You might have a Wario. You might have a mischief-causing chaos agent.
Or a Mario.
Sure.
I like how you just casually drop, you might have a Wario.
You might have a Wario. I guess that's title. Not exactly a doppelganger, because like you can clearly tell who's who. There's never like a mistaken identity issue.
I have cartoon donk blindness, so that actually is an issue for me.
You should not see a doctor about that. You should keep that.
No desire to change it whatsoever.
But I think the worst fate would be discovering that you have a boring doppelganger, that there's somebody out there who looks exactly like you and could have lived a whole different life, but is just like, yeah, I'm just dull as shit. I don't do anything interesting.
If your doppelganger is inherently opposite of you, which I realize is not necessarily part of the equation.
Sure.
But if so, that would make you the exciting doppelganger.
Is the
ultimate worst case that they are exactly the same as you, and that
no
alternate
right.
paths were explored, no experiments were conducted.
That's what it really is. Is if you meet your doppelganger and you're like, oh, you're just like me, but with a milk allergy.
It's
oh,
like
cool.
Like a wizard comes to you and says, you can live your life over making all the correct choices, and you go back and you do everything exactly the same.
Doctor Strange goes through every possible, yep, you're still just dumb and look stupid in those pants.
Sorry, but you're still you.
It could also be a moment for unwelcome self-awareness, like, wait, this is what I'm like?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that loser. Look at that idiot.
<That's> him.
Why is he that way?
Who wanted to be that person?
Why is he that way? And why doesn't he understand that other people don't like that?
Why doesn't he simply make better choices?
Or the ultimate in narcissism, you meet your doppelganger and you immediately make love to them for like 3 days.
this is your sure. approach, I suspect.
And then you have to try it once.
You don't.
What do you mean by have to?
You have to, man.
This is like talking to Reddit. Huh. Is that incest or masturbation?
That is the worst thing you've ever said to me.
I think the worst thing you've ever said was like 30 seconds ago.
So. Yeah.
No, you'd have to try it.
You don't have to.
No.
You'd have to try it.
Hard disagree,
Wait.
Buddy.
What if you go for it and other you is like, gross. No,
Hang
absolutely
on. Let's
not.
First unpack well, the I've, definitions I've of you'd and have to and try it.
I know what it looks like under all that. No, I don't want to.
That's fine. That's I believe in, you know, I believe in consent.
There is no like exciting mystery to unwrap here.
I know your moves. They're not good.
I've seen
well, now we're both disappointed.
Oh. Oh, that's our show, everybody.
What treasures await? Because they've already been spoiled.
That you may have a Wario out there. I'm like, is there me, but with a gigantic ass? Just a huge, cartoonishly massive ass.
Probably. What if it's flat ass, though?
What if he's the Wario?
Then you have a Waluigi.
Yeah, Waluigi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. So then do you still have to have sex with if there's no ass?
Again, I'm curious about the operating definitions of you and have to.
Yeah, you know, you gotta try that. Here.
This is the see hot stove, touch hot stove taken to a disturbing extreme.
Yes.
A disturbing, disturbing extreme.
Caliente.
Some of us, for the benefit of the human race, have to try the new food. You know, when you're on the plane.
How does you fucking you benefit the human race? What is the benefit to mankind?
Also, how is some white guy a new food?
I count.
People have tried white guys
Don't
before.
Don't deny my personhood or my Wario's personhood.
Hey, there's already Sasquatch porn on Amazon. I just checked. I can look up hemophiliac grizzly out of some white guy. I don't think you're going to like how it goes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So,
thank you. You know, usually I start the show with a distraction and I feel good about it. And today I don't. Today I regret bringing it up.
Listen, it's like a defense. You gave me that. I took the open yardage and no one's happy now. Just like a Georgia victory. No one's happy.
Just like Georgia in this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just they're the new Alabama. Nobody's happy to watch them win except for Georgia fans.
Except who? Two doppelgangers, just hardcore fucking.
Two Kirby smarts. Cutting each other's hair, which explains things.
You look like a hard worker. I like hard workers.
I like your visor. I like your visor.
I like your truck. Do you like golf? I love golf.
I want to shave your tummy.
You seem like Kirby Genius to me. This is working. That noise is that noise is Holly Anderson. She is also on the podcast.
Just shut up.
Jason Kirk is the voice of reason over there, and producing the show is Michael Serber.
How did I become the voice of reason? I told
default.
Yes. Yeah, it's a low bar, man.
Wow. So, sorry. Yeah. I will.
Same reason you became our religious leader.
Yeah. This is a lot of responsibility, but kind of none at all.
So. Also, like being our religious leader.
The pastor of this godless church.
Yeah, whatever, man.
So today, Ryan also has another distraction, which is you have a game for us.
I love games.
When you say these things, I'm always like, it is very Saw-esque in that I have some dread. It is not Saw-esque in that I think you have a good design. I'm always waiting for the realistic version of Saw where he's like, I have a game for you to play. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, put these handcuffs on. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to leave.
I have a game for you to play. And
what?
Shit.
What?
And it's Parcheesi.
I was going to say Parcheesi. That's terrifying.
It's the game of Indian royalty.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, it's a royal game of India. That's what Parcheesi is.
Wow.
It's right there on the box.
You said that like, I don't know. You said that like a kid who's watched too many commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You see the gum in the store and you point and you're like, Mom, with Retson.
Yeah. Dyson. It's a different kind of vacuum cleaner.
It really
is. Those are the Doritos with LeBron James' picture on them.
I knew those Doritos were going to be a big thing in 1964 when I saw them for the first time.
I love my Dyson more than I love several members of my extended family. It's just different.
It's fair. Yes. The game I want to play is so you probably know if you've listened to the show before that I love a blind game where I give my co-hosts resumes or numbers of a team or in this case a coach candidate, but I don't give them any identifying details beyond sort of, you know, the ones that I've chosen to. And in this case, I would like to play a cooperative game. This is the three of you are going to be working together.
Okay, so Jason and I are going to be working together.
No, this is important for all of you, actually. You're going to be identifying Auburn's next head coach.
That is important.
I know on last show that I wasn't here for, we already gave that job to Dabo, but that was before Dabo lost Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's not the man for the job.
So, anyway, here's how this is going to work.
It's time to move on. Sorry, go ahead.
I have three categories of coaches, and in each category, there are three candidates. The way this is going to work is we're going to start because of where you all are on my Zoom screen. Holly's going to get to pick first. She gets to pick a category, and then I'm going to give her three candidates blind. She has to pick one. We're going to go to Jason. He's going to pick from the remaining two categories, pick one of those coaches. Spencer's going to go last. He will take the last category, pick one of the three blind coaches. And then we will take those three candidates who come from different angles, let's say. This will make more sense when I tell you the categories. And the three of you will decide which of those three blind candidates you want.
Is this like the claw of a wolf, tail of a fox thing? Or
yeah, sure. Okay. Let's go with that.
And you say they're all blind.
They're all blind, correct.
Visually impaired.
I think access is important.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Holly, the categories are very simple. You can pick from college football veterans. These are coaches who have coached at least 200 games. you can go with what I'm calling young head coaches with experience. These are all coaches who are 50 or younger, but have coached at least 100 games.
Okay.
Or you can go with NFL.
Oh, Jesus. Let's, since we proved on the Channel 6 space a couple weeks ago that I can name, I think, 10 NFL coaches.
I thought you did really well. I'm not going to lie.
I thought I did, too, because I thought I'd top out at 8. Let's go with NFL.
Okay. Here are your choices.
Okay.
Option 1, has a Super Bowl ring as a head coach, is top 5 in wins for 2 different NFL franchises, and spent his college career quarterbacking a school in Louisiana. That's your first choice. Choice 2, has multiple Super Bowl rings as a player, was at one time the highest paid coordinator in the NFL, and in his last 6 seasons as a head coach, won 3 division titles. And your third choice, has a Super Bowl ring as a coordinator, at one point led his team to the playoffs 5 straight times, and has the most wins in franchise history for the team he worked for.
Ryan, you've done an excellent job, because these all feel like traps.
Are you leaning any ways?
Leaning B.
Multiple Super Bowl rings as a player, one time the highest paid coordinator, 3 division titles.
Yes, because the others all sound like they have too many obvious good qualities, and I've played this game with you before.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you who B is. I will tell you who A and C were, since you have not selected them. You have not picked as head coach to advance to the final round of interviews for the Auburn Tigers
job. Oh, shit, I forgot to figure out which one was Pete Carroll. Shit.
You have not picked Doug Peterson, who has a Super Bowl ring as a head coach, and as of, I think, this last week, is now top 5 in wins for both the Jags and the Eagles.
It doesn't exist to whoever that is.
Whoa, yeah. For the Jags?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
He won 7 games.
It's frighteningly low.
See, I told you I played this game with Ryan before.
And option C that you did not pick is Marvin Lewis. Won a Super Bowl ring as a coordinator with the Ravens, took the Bengals to the playoffs 5 straight times, and has the most wins in Cincinnati history.
How many playoff wins did he have, Ryan?
How many playoff wins did he have?
As many as Auburn.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, about that.
Okay, so I am marking who you have selected to advance to the final round. Jason, you can choose either college football veterans or young that has a bit of an asterisk, 50, depending on, you know, like Spencer.
Young at heart.
Young. Yeah. Young with some experience, but not a boatload necessarily.
Yeah. So this is for Auburn.
Yeah.
Where I have fears and concerns about what the overall culture could do to the cardiac system of an older person. Mm-hmm, so for the common public health, I'm going to go with the younger options.
Okay. Your first choice has a career winning percentage of 702, has a 3-3 bowl record, and has 2 seasons where his team finished with a perfect record in conference. Your second choice went to and won bowl games in 3 of the last 4 seasons, has won Coach of the Year in 2 different conferences, and has NFL experience as a player and an assistant. Choice 3. Had 3 top 10 finishes in his first 5 years as a head coach, has 9 years of NFL experience, and is 4-time Coach of the Year in his current conference.
I think I know who C is. I'm going C.
Okay. we're going to mark him off. The coaches you did not pick. B first. B first. PJ Fleck has been to bowl games in 3 of the last 4 years, was Coach of the Year in 2 different conferences, and has NFL experience as a player and assistant, thanks Greg Schiano. And Coach A that you didn't pick, which I kind of wish you had because it would have been fun, with a 702 winning percentage and 2 seasons with a perfect record in conference, you have eliminated Brian Harsin from consideration.
You know, Auburn really needs to look at somebody who's got Auburn experience.
That's right. That's right. Who knows the system, even if it's not a good way? Okay. Spencer, you get grizzled veterans. These are coaches.
That's appropriate that we've left this for him.
These are college coaches who have at least coached 200 games. All right. Option one, has won his last four bowl games, has two conference championship game appearances, and was an All-American as a player. Option two, has won a national championship, was coach of the year in two different conferences, and has amassed 12 seasons with double-digit wins. And option three, has finished above 500 for 16 straight seasons, has two top 10 finishes in the AP poll, and beat a Power 5 team in five of his last six bowl games.
Okay. I think I know who all three are, so okay. I'm going to go ahead and select B.
You're going to select B?
Because I think it's okay. The funniest answer.
All right.
I have mastered the game.
You tell me who you think A and C are, and I can repeat information if that's helpful.
Okay. Is A Pat Fitzgerald?
A is Pat Fitzgerald. That is correct.
Okay.
Were you Googling?
Not a bit.
This whole time.
No, I was on camera with these hands are idle.
Researching doesn't seem like Spencer's whole thing.
It doesn't. You're right.
How dare you?
Pull up here, baby. And then is C Kirk Ferentz?
No.
No, okay.
No. C is Mike Gundy.
Okay, so I'm still happy with what I think B is.
Okay. Okay, so the three of you have now you are the search committee for Auburn University. You have narrowed the search down to three, I got to tell you, very different candidates. And I'm going to review them, and then I want you three to come to a decision as to who you want to hire. First, your veteran option. I'll repeat, has won a national championship, was coach of the year in two different conferences, and has 12 seasons with double-digit wins. Your second choice is the younger head coach with some experience. Three top 10 finishes in his first 5 years as a head coach, 9 years of NFL experience, and four-time coach of the year in his current conference. And your last choice, your NFL option. Multiple Super Bowl rings as a player, was at one time the highest paid coordinator in the NFL, and won three division titles in his last six seasons as a head coach. You can, if you think you know who the, I won't say anything, but if
I'm
you...
I'm deliberately not trying to think of who they are, because okay. I honor the spirit of the game.
Thank you.
I feel like B feels the least trappy. What do y'all think?
I think, when we think about Auburn, all right, we went, ideally, if Auburn succeeding is the thing that produces, you know, just general happiness and not like chaotic fluctuations, you know, then that would be one goal that the committee could have. I think our committee, however, might want to keep in mind that like a poor fit with Auburn could be really fun, you know, like if we were to pick someone with like absolutely no Southern experience, who's like, I don't know if he's ever been to a public school, who is used to, you know, like a school where like woo-woo shit like science matters, and like I would really 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 lean toward option B. Maybe someone who's like going to be confused by having to like kick off at like 11 a.m. local. Mm-hmm. Because he's never been to the Central Time Zone, except for that one time it went poorly. They lost to Northwestern.
I love that because it emulates my favorite NFL career track, which is like, went to Andover, right? Went to Phillips, played at Fordham or someplace like that. Played at Colby. I don't even know if Colby has the football team, right? Did two seasons as quality control for like Western Illinois or Central Connecticut. And then the next line is like offensive coordinator Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
Like you see so many resumes like that. You're like,
what the fuck? How'd you get
tried and go through a veteran presence?
You went through a wormhole or something.
Yeah.
Which you know, Auburn after well, like a decade or so of, you know, coaches who want to score points. They don't always, but like that's the goal. I think we should calm things down a little bit.
Jason, when you said after a decade or so of coaches who, and my brain finished the sentence, coaches who want to be at Auburn, And then I wondered if we should have a national conscription program for coaches instead of faffing around with all these contracts and shit. Let's draft them.
Yeah, we should draft coaches, like, just period. Every mm-hmm. year, we should redraft coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this UMass gets Kirby now.
Don't give them a chance to get into the walls.
Thank you for
every
faffing.
What, every way, one, two, or 3 years? What do you think? Just shuffle them all.
I like I like every 3 years. Because
I like three because then every most players will get at least two to play under at least two head coaches during their time.
Okay.
Like if you want to for the, maybe this is a sop to everybody who thinks the transfer portal is a nightmare because this is incentive for the players to stick around and try their luck with a coaching staff that may be world beaters.
Yeah, three's also good when the coach comes to you.
Three's also good because that's enough time for like it starts to work somewhere, and you're like, no, oh shit, god damn it.
See, I like the devil's bargain of two coaches who are both going to be fired in year two, mm-hmm. switching places. Like, you think you can? Do you think I can? Do you want to? Okay, let's go.
Sure. Hey, on that note, real quick, can we play? It's relevant. Can we play voicemail 404? I promise this is relevant.
JT calling. Question. If Brian Kelly stays at Notre Dame, do Notre Dame or LSU win this past weekend?
Makes you think, don't it?
Notre Dame does because I'm assuming Marcus Freeman would still be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
LSU doesn't.
So all they need is 3 points. Are we saying if Ed Orgeron is still the coach at LSU, or does
no,
he
not specify.
Average replacement level LSU
Let's
coach?
Say average replacement level LSU
yeah.
coach.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know, maybe.
I truly don't know, like, who was the next option if they didn't get Brian Kelly? Because Lincoln Riley was the name, and Lincoln Riley very cleverly was like, I'm definitely not taking the LSU job.
Yeah.
And they pointedly did not want Billy Napier.
Right.
Probably Jimbo, right?
Yeah, gotta be.
So they weren't gonna win that game,
right?
That does answer that question.
They would nearly win that game.
The other candidate, by the way, who was big time mentioned for that was, and I can't say whether this is viable. I'm just taking it because his name was there. Was Dave Aranda, and I really love.
But we know he likes Baylor.
Right, but like if he had taken that job, if I just plug him in the simulator, I think they win that game, which is doubly confusing for Nick because Dave Aranda probably crosses and he's like, I'm sorry, Nick, that was just, I could have done a lot better. And he's like, why are you talking to me, dude? We don't have emotions. You're so weird, Dave. Stop being weird.
Have you all settled on who you want to hire? I know.
Jason and I are leaning B. Spencer, okay. What about you?
I will go B as well.
Okay. Do you first want to hazard guesses as to who your other candidates were, your veteran and your NFL option?
I don't because I don't like looking at the past.
Okay. Holly.
But you guys can.
The NFL candidate. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so I think my veteran pick, I was hoping that was Mack Brown.
That was Mack Brown, correct.
Yes!
Hi, everybody.
The puffy coat comes around the corner before he does. You got only that chance to run.
I see so much padding.
You've rejected Mack Brown, and more importantly, you've rejected him the opportunity for him to reinvent his accent yet another time. Holly, the NFL candidate that you pushed forward to the final round was Jason Garrett.
Wow. You know what? Fine. He kind of looks like Brian Harsin.
And
he's the Brian Harsin you can take home to mom.
Jason, you know who this is. Who have you selected to be the next head coach of Auburn University?
A man walking into a weird place for the first time is David Shaw.
That's correct.
I'm fine with this. Yes.
A man who's going to walk in and establish sound, coherent logic and reason, make everything work according to engineer brain, facts,
oh, they'll hate
standards.
It. It's gonna be great.
And so will he.
What is like a booster revolt at Stanford like? Is it like the Vineyard had
a
terrible year?
I think it works.
It's
exactly
the fucking
like,
war in Yemen.
Sure.
It works exactly like Twitter for the past 5 days. Like,
yeah, right.
half of the university is now fired. We were fired 5% of the university every 3 months until until protocols are established. Or, you know, nerd words like those.
David Shaw didn't invest in my medical robot NFT, and now I'm furious.
Oh no, my medical robot NFT thing turned out to be a scam. I've seen this.
Oh,
I'm wearing a black turtleneck. Shit. How did it go wrong?
Did I'm y'all closing see eight hospitals because I'm mad now.
Yeah.
Did y'all see there were two additional Brett Favre-backed fraudulent media or medicine companies?
Yeah.
No. No, I mean, you know today.
I got to tell you,
okay.
It is pretty sweet for these other fraud. Because what seems to be happening is, like, fraudulent companies will happen to have Brett Favre involved in various levels. Mm-hmm. And now they get to be like, phew, this Brett Favre, he's a bad customer, isn't he? Boy.
Thank goodness we're not. Are these other scams also volleyball related?
One of these was concussion technology of some sort, I
volleyball
believe.
Concussions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But yeah, they just get to be like, oh boy, here at Concussion Fraud, we run a tight ship. But that the siren song of Brett Favre just led us astray, and there's nothing we could do about it.
Do you guys remember the? It's
he jingles his sexy copper wristbands at us, and we just do whatever he says.
Once you're caught up in a Brett Favre volleyball scam, you're just along for the ride.
Yep, that's right.
Spiritually, it's a predecessor to we're all trying to find the guy who did this. But do you guys remember the Muppet Show, Nobody Here But Us Chickens bit?
Sure. Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just Brett Favre in a giant chicken costume going, caw-caw! Caw-caw!
All of this because Brett Favre feels some sort of deep guilt as a father. He's like, well, I guess I better build her a volleyball. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'll build her a volleyball facility, which he could have done with his own money.
Men will invest in fraudulent medical technology instead of going to family therapy.
I don't think he could have done this with his own. Because here's the thing you have to remember. Most of Brett Favre's career took place when NFL players, including quarterbacks, like made money, but not like money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bet his...
Yeah, but there's things called investment accountants.
Are you telling me you think Brett Favre wasn't duped or misled by several investment accountants over the course of his life?
What is Brett Favre investing in? I'm saying that he could have put his money with smart people, and he chose to do this instead.
What smart people does Brett Favre know?
Look, just purely based on his advertising habits, Brett Favre doesn't have money.
All
right. Allegedly.
All I hear is hater talk.
Allegedly, he's worth $100 million. Now,
That feels like a lot more.
Wait, I will
I'm going to go with earned $100 million.
I will tell you, if you asked a scammer what they were worth, the first answer out of their mouth is going to be $100 million.
That's a blank check-ass answer.
Yeah.
It's a volleyball court. How much could it cost?
Like $100 million.
I read this last night, and I'm sorry, I forget the provenance of it right now, but I was reading about, you know, the collapse of everything around us because there's nothing else to read about right now. And somebody said we're going to look back on the last 10 years as a time when, for the first time in history, you know, social media allowed marginalized groups to speak directly to the elites. And as a result, elites everywhere lost their fucking minds. That's as good an explanation as I've read.
Here is, I think, what you need to know about Brett Favre. If you go to his profile reference page and look at his career comparison, they'll show you, like, who had a similar career to Brett Favre. We'll put Fran Tarkenton to the side. The next two quarterbacks are Drew Brees and John Elway. Drew Brees, famously, like, pill scammy, pyramid scheme, broke motherfucker. And John Elway, whose most famous thing was the Broncos were like, would you like 10% of the team? And he's like, no, I would like to own laundromats instead. So, no, there's no way Brett Favre is $100 million.
Dude, he could have John Elway... Keep in mind, by the way, Elway's like net worth was cleaved in half by a fairly expensive divorce.
Yes.
And he still would have been miles ahead of where he was if he'd just taken 10% of the goddamn Broncos.
Yes, but he wanted to use that money to buy laundromats.
He wanted a dealership. Yeah, he wanted a dealership, too. That was like John Elway Chevy or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, like, no. I don't think Brett Favre could have solved his problems with money. I think he was trying to get money to solve his problems.
How much money are you worth, Brett? 100? 100 million? 100 million. So you don't think, because I think he did it because the scamming got too good. Like, he hit that scam button and was like, ah, oh, that scam button feels good.
So let's also
look, I'm not trying to shit on the South or Mississippi, but, like, it's not, you're not playing at Heisman level if you're trying to scam government money in Mississippi. Do you know what I mean? Like, all
well, no, not the, when the fucking governor's willing
yes,
to help
exactly.
you do it.
Like this was not like, wow, what an Ocean's Dude, level fucking level fucking
playing,
scheme
he
pulled off here. He basically was like, governor, can I have some bullshit money for volleyball? And the governor was like, please
make
stop
sure
texting
the press
me
don't know about it.
That's
you're
right.
not playing on Heisman level when you throw 5 TDs against the Raiders, but he did it.
Go scam Las Vegas or something.
Yes.
Also, I want to note
yes.
this list of similar quarterbacks. I think we might have stumbled on something because Tarkenton's also pretty trumpy and players shouldn't kneel and so on and so forth. So
yep. Mm. Yep. Yep.
I'm detecting a mindset among the gunslingers.
Because think about
guys
it.
Guys who are like, ah, fuck rules. I'll do whatever I want on the
fourth,
football field.
Fourth on this list, Philip Rivers, who doesn't have any money because he has too many fucking kids.
Okay. Okay. So we'll
do you know what Philip Rivers' Costco bill
mix.
Looks like? It's like a fucking scroll.
Riverful. Rivers full. Is this anything?
If he's in yes. front of you for the cart check coming out of Costco, you're just
oh
like,
my
oh,
God.
Shit.
He's got to get a flatbed, that dude. I mean, Jesus.
I mean, the bed's flat. The bed's flat at this point, brother. That thing's been hammered in half by now.
From downtown.
No irregularities to be found in that mattress. Thing's been tenderized.
He used to take when they moved. He
like
used to drive in a. He used to drive in a van. Oh God! He took all NC State's. He took all of NC State's scoring with him for life.
For life.
And still, still, some say he's still scoring to this day.
They say his spirit still roams these impregnating wary hikers.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. Unwary hikers.
Also the wary. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, though. That man had
God,
a Nick Cannon arm.
He's got a yeah. couple of he's got several cannon appendages based on production. Man.
That's a man who had a set, who like got who started a seventh pregnancy and then was like, you know what would be better than this? An eighth.
The Colts.
Go.
You know whose face I really like seeing on as many people as possible? Mine.
I was just thinking. Okay, I was just thinking about that because you know that who's the what's the saying of if you know want to know God thinks of money, look who he gives it to. I'm really concerned about whose image we're being created in right here because think about Philip Rivers' face, and then God's like, you know who I'm gonna make super fucking fertile? This guy.
Yep. Yep.
If I found out that Philip Rivers had like 70 kids, like Screamin' Jay Hawkins or, you know, some great progenitor of an ancient tribe, I would totally believe it. Like in 20 years, they're like, yeah, it turns out that like he has 400 kids. I'd be like,
we,
yeah.
We stopped like, counting once stop. He left the NFL, but he didn't stop having them.
Yeah.
He didn't stop being a compiler.
I will say, I think if Riverful.
Sorry.
I think if Philip Rivers was embroiled in some massive fraud scheme, we would all be like, you know what? That many kids is stressful. I get it.
Yeah, no.
You know how much fucking volleyball the guy has to pay for? Come on.
This dude. This
Do you
the
know
same
how many
dude.
Fucking... Okay, listen. It's a long off season.
Yeah.
The fucking violin recitals alone. Do you know how many times that yes. guy... And, you know, let's really... I don't know if he's an involved dad or not, but, like, in theory, do you know how many times you have to listen to a fourth grader learning to play the trombone?
Do you know how many...
I think there's a solution here, and I'm just guessing. Philip Rivers has already found it. Church choir. All of them at once.
Oh, right. God.
Do you know how many other fifth birthday parties Philip Rivers has had to take his children to?
Oh, no.
Think of that network.
Do you know how fast someone in that family can throw the crepe paper on top of a toy in the gift bag,
yes.
right? Just have them by the door.
Yes.
Do you like?
They probably just have
toys even make them into the house, or his wife just chucks them into the garage in a crate to take out for the next party.
Yeah. I think they're in the car. I think they're just like squirreled away in the car door in the glove
compartment. Take the gift, man.
Chargers historians who may be listening to us, please tell us the most number of Rivers children who were in elementary school at any one time in that age bracket where you have to bring a Valentine for every kid in your class.
You're all getting Garfield. Garfield is what they had a shitload of boxes of.
I don't think he did this himself, but just imagine like Philip Rivers taping individual lollipops to these cards.
Going on eBay, typing in Valentine's card lot.
I'm telling you, for savings, they just went over to they just went across the road. They went to Tijuana. They bought a bunch of like Spanish minion stuff, right? And then they brought it back. So they're like,
I got a
Los Minions doll.
No, have we talked about this before? Yeah. Minions are outsizedly popular in Mexico.
Rules. Absolutely.
That kind of
rules.
Like, that kind
no,
of
to a degree that's to a degree that surpasses even like the Minions in Suits craze here. They've been like that the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
This all also explains why, after 15 years with the Chargers, living in San Diego and LA for a little bit, when the Colts called 39-year-old Philip Rivers and his 17 children, he was like, absolutely, I'll come take a year off in Indiana. Absolutely, well, I would love that.
Well, not only that, but
the
like,
parking spaces are bigger there. For
there's, there's nothing to do in Indianapolis. Don't care. I just want to sleep and watch what I want on TV.
There being nothing else to do in Indianapolis might be its own problem.
Sure.
You know how big of a yard I can send these kids out into? Also, I need the paychecks bad. So much volleyball.
So much volleyball.
Yeah, you know, he goes,
what if, like, what happens if, like, four of them at once want to learn the cello?
Well, you got a quartet right there.
Church choir.
No, I mean,
answer.
Like, where's what Chrysler Pacifica model comes with four cellos worth of cargo space?
Oh, they have one of those disturbingly large vans that instantly signifies that you are most likely part of a very, very opinionated religious sect of some sort. Yeah, that's what they have.
It's not a sect.
Yeah, we're here. It's the sect.
Hello, I'm Philip Rivers, and this is my Korean church van.
We don't say the word sect because the plural of it makes the teenagers stumble.
And also, it's caused a lot of problems for the Rivers family.
Also, sects are the reason we have this issue to begin with.
Yep.
It's not a sect van, it's a sects van. Yep.
But, as far as I know, Philip Rivers, you know what? Say this for him. Philip Rivers doesn't have the time getting all this scammy business. Brett Favre should have had 10 more kids. Maybe he would have stayed on the straight and narrow.
No, he ran a scam on himself. It's called having 10 kids.
He fell for the oldest trick in the book, buddy.
He did. He's like, who's taking all my money?
I'm so thankful.
The most shocking thing, honestly,
full of thieves.
The most shocking thing about it is that somehow, and it must be that, I'm not going to say what it must be.
Mm-hmm.
This has not turned into a reality television show because I was just going to be mean, and I didn't need to be that level of mean. But like to be a famous athlete with a shitload of children and not even have like a C-list reality show where you're like, why is this on TV Guide Network? Is really hard to do, I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's either really good or.
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully really good.
Yeah. Just strong parenting.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
If you just consider that when we were looking at post-career Brett Favre, the thing that he's done publicly that's had the most, like, the least controversy and the most integrity has been shilling for a copper back brace.
Like or jeans. I think the jeans. Are probably the most defensible. Because even the copper back brace is a little bit like, I don't know, maybe people should go to the doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This man's whole public image was redeemed by jeans and destroyed by volleyball.
Man.
And you know what?
That's jeans all, we are so close to a Luke Bryan song. We're volleyball so close.
Is the least jean sport in the world, despite what Top Gun would tell you.
It's so difficult to play volleyball in jeans.
Okay.
A lot of people are going to watch, but...
Yeah.
Taekwondo is very difficult in jeans.
Chuck Norris's whole career suggests otherwise.
Yes, but those are action jeans. We've established
that. Wasn't the whole point of those Brett Favre's jeans was that they had the flexible gunt, or was that Drew Brees? Grundle. I don't know what men parts, what all y'all call your parts.
It's just leg. It's leg until stomach starts.
What's the tweener part on dude pants?
The tweener part.
Server, edit all this out.
No. This tastes.
I like that you said tweener, like we can't decide if it's a defensive end or a linebacker.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Is it built for speed or power? No one can decide.
Well, the word I wanted to say was gusset, and I know that. That's a real word. That's not a funny word.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds fine. If someone walked up to me and said, I've been kicked in the fucking gusset, I would know where they've been kicked.
Yeah. Oh, that does fucking hurt.
He hit me right in my Brian Cushing.
That's a ballerina fight.
Yeah.
This is what people really don't appreciate about the whole the 90s are back thing. It's like, no, you get to wear jeans with like that are soft and that have some flex to them. Like 90s jeans, that shit was rough. That shit was not comfortable. Mm-hmm. Not a thing. But now Holly has introduced us to the concept of all flex jeans. They flex in every dimension on all part of the jean.
Those are just leggings.
If they're comfortable, they're not jeans anymore.
That's like, true.
If they don't feel like fucking pain, they're not jeans.
Yeah.
I think we've just had another kick-ass business idea because now that it is acceptable for dude to wear stretchy jeans, we've got to introduce like plywood jeans that go in the other direction.
Yeah. To remasculize America.
Alpha jeans.
To defeat the gynocracy. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
And if we boil this,
it's a crazy thing.
I know.
If we boil this particular frog slow enough, we could invent the dude corset.
Jason, I'm suspecting that word was tweeted at you in the last 24 hours. Probably.
Often, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what did I miss? Who'd you get into?
When am I not? Oh, so one thing that's happened recently is I tweeted Jeff Saturday, new head coach of our Indianapolis Colts, who his entire coaching career is coaching a mediocre high school in Georgia.
I got caught up in that yesterday, too.
He's immediately hired, to his own shock and surprise, because Jim Irsay is on incredible cocaine and brain pills. despite having a former player on staff, Reggie Wayne is on your staff.
They have two former head coaches on staff.
Yeah.
You have three good options on your coaching staff, at least one of whom would be a person of color. You instead go for some white guy because Peyton Manning used to touch his butt a lot, which is fine. That's not the problem. In fact, that is the argument in his favor.
That's a degree further than Reggie Wayne, who only caught balls that came from Peyton's hands.
That's true.
Sure.
Right.
I tweeted just like I didn't even like post an opinion on it because I just thought it was just straight up funny. Like this dude is. You know, hired from like Hebron Academy in Dublin, Georgia, or something.
Which I didn't even know he'd done that much coaching until you said that.
Yeah, and then I started seeing like all these non-Avvy, like Brian 8475655, like the type of people who I have long ago muted and just like stopped encountering on Twitter. Just started like flooding in, calling me like reverse racist and shit. I didn't even say anything. I didn't say a word. And like it was funny. It was this kind of thing where just like doing internet sleuthing. Like, hang on. I'm getting whiffs of Yahoo here. I'm getting whiffs of Yahoo.com. It reminded me of working at SB Nation when our shit would get linked on Yahoo, and it would be like, oh, hell yeah, traffic bump, but also they're going to try to get us fired and murdered and shit.
Your dumbest cousin is coming to town, and he's got some things to say.
And they're not going to sound like they've been online at any point in the last 20 years. Like, they're not going to use the latest up-to-date Tucker Carlson buzzwords. They're going to sound like your grandfather did 30 years ago, right? Like they're going to be saying like out of date racism, not up to the minute racism.
You're going to get called a Spaniard. at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that's how you detect the yeah. Yahoo commenters.
Well,
so
there's
like,
a lot of there's a lot of like you probably had the same problem when Obama was elected with no experience, and it's like
I don't even know like
fucking
it's so
forever
old.
Ago.
Yeah, it's
I
it's
respond
so,
to
so
these
old,
people but... with "Who the fuck is Obama?" which will at least stop them for a minute.
I do like so, the yeah, idea though,
because
Jason.
I said Jeff Saturday has never coached in the college or the NFL. I'm getting emailed like, "You have earrings," and that's basically pronouns so, in bio.
Wait,
like,
I was asleep when Gojo tagged me into a conversation about this yesterday because he was quoting something that I said about something completely different,
mm-hmm.
And woke up to just a cavalcade of these same, I don't know what it is. Also, I like Jeff Saturday. He was a fine player. He's a fine player. He's
Saturday
fine on television.
No.
This is a weird fucking choice. And I said, I love Jeff, but this is real weird. That was the end. That was it. And the firestorm I set off in my own timeline was just like, where did the fucking Jeff Saturday hive come from? And why are they so unlike Jeff Saturday?
I love that there is this like suicide squad of Yahoo commenters who I imagine have a phone tree that they all call each other and they're like, hey, listen, Jason Kirk was talking shit about Jeff Saturday. Listen, I need you boys to dust it up for one more ride.
When I say this, I'm the one here who used to fucking work at Yahoo. This was a lot.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
by I those bet. Standards.
But yeah. Jason's I mean, right. Like, it's
they
like they all,
changed at all.
They all show up with like, it's like they got their guide to posting at the clearance rack at Ross. It's like, this is, you are not trained in this. What are you doing out here?
You're late. How did
that's
you just
so,
now
so
get here?
Honestly, the most Yahoo thing they could have done would have been to do this 5 days from now.
Don't worry, they will.
That will
so like
happen.
So like
it has
yeah,
been a big
have,
year for late but stupid Twitter,
dude. It is
like
a,
I have
is.
My usual like people calling me a Christian apostate or whatever, you know, and have my people call like
based.
I'm like yeah. used to all that type of shit. Yeah. Adding yeah. in the racist Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday doesn't want you being racist for him. Jeff Saturday yeah. is confused as to why Jeff Saturday has this job. He doesn't need your racist support.
Pretending to know the mind of Jim Irsay.
Just,
who the fuck are you
just
people?
Sitting, this is me sitting at my house, opening the door, and being like, yo, fuck the British Cavalry of Crimea. And,
and they show
as
up
an institution, a record label,
yeah.
and
then a month later,
crow.
On December 8th, 2022, I hear the clomp of hooves. And the entire British cavalry
sir,
is at
heard
my
you
door.
Talk
sir,
heard you talk shit about William the Conqueror. Get him.
No, it's not even like that, Spencer. It's a, if December 8th, so random horses who have nothing to do with Britain show up.
From 1847
someone
show
even
up.
Older shows up. Yeah. yeah.
Oh, but it's December 8th and we're prepared. You know why? Welsh horse skull.
That's right.
Do you all know who the current starting quarterback for... By the time this comes out, this could have changed multiple ways. Do you know who the starting quarterback for the Colts is?
I do.
Is it still...
wait, is it not... Is it not him anymore?
Sam Ellinger, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
Sam
I was
Ellinger.
Wrong. Okay.
Yes,
yeah,
it
Texas
is Sam
back.
Ellinger.
It's not still Phillip Rivers? Because that was going to be my guess.
Do you know how many coaches on the Colts' current staff have play calling experience? Zero.
Yeah.
Go look up their. Go look up their offensive coordinator. It's absolute.
They fired him. They fired him 2 weeks ago.
Wait, did they fire Zane Fakes?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Zane
my sweet
there.
Boy Zane Deep Fakes is safe. Yep.
No. Yep. Here we go.
Spencer,
okay.
Jason, please look up Zane Fakes.
Okay, I'll look him up. If you look up Parks.
I am
Frazier.
Playing. I am playing Animal mm-hmm. Crossing. Make mm-hmm. Server do it.
Parks mm-hmm. Frazier. If you want to know, like Bunky Perkins on Twitter is fond of publishing the list of what fraternity is it? Sigma Nu, I think inductees. Like,
yes,
and it'll
right.
all be all these names that are like each one is more Mississippi than the next until you finally end up with a guy whose name is something like. Plinth McGillicuddy.
So Parks right? Frazier.
I taught
yes,
a kid.
Is...
I taught a kid named Parks. Does he have a family foundation? I'm so glad you asked.
Parks Frazier is the new de facto play caller, and
Parks
I'm on
Frazier!
His. I'm on his.
Sorry.
I'm on his Colts page. Hometown, Corinth, Mississippi.
Parks Frazier of Corinth, Mississippi, and when I talked about. Bass-ackwards, weird-ass, super-connected paths into the NFL, the meritocracy, then this is a perfect example of that, minus the bizarro, like, Ivy prep.
Middle Tennessee State's an Ivy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a kudzu.
Why wouldn't it be?
It's a kudzu. There is poison ivy there. That's a good one. Yes.
That should be a brand. Why isn't
it? We should make that a thing.
Yeah.
The Sun Belt is the kudzu league. The
kudzu that's our conference.
2015.
What if that's just the conference of teams we adopt?
2015. Defensive quality control at Samford, meaning coffee. 2015. Same year.
Same year.
Middle Tennessee State, defensive quality control.
That's shitty commute.
He must have been really good at the
That's
coffee.
Nashville so much to coffee. Birmingham.
So Ugh. Much coffee.
Not Birmingham.
2016-17, Arkansas State graduate assistant.
Which Arkansas State administration was that? That was in the carousel
Blake
years.
Anderson. Okay. That's Blake Anderson.
Okay.
All right. So then in 2017, he goes from that to 2018 to 2019, he's the assistant to the head coach. He's married by Frank Reich.
What? Wait, 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 wait.
I don't think that's true. Frank Reich went to seminary. Reformed seminary, to be clear.
Wait. Explain that again.
No. Frank Reich.
What do you mean he's...
Yeah. Frank Reich, who is an ordained minister.
Why is this so upsetting to me?
Married.
I hope he's better at being a minister.
No, he was reformed.
I guess that's why.
Yeah. And he married Parks Frazier and his wife.
Oh.
Yes. So he's not that reformed.
But he was already working.
No, reformed is a misnomer. Working? Don't be fooled by reformed. It means the opposite of what it sounds like.
Uh-huh. It's reformed in which direction? It's exactly. More like preformed?
Can yes. I give you the
they
most,
should call it something else.
I'm going to give you the most football guy shit ever because I'm going to read to you a summary of
being
Reich's.
Married by Frank Reich wasn't the most
no,
football
it's not,
ever?
It's not. There is more layers of
Jesus
football dude here.
Wept. That's a Bible reference, folks.
Reich first shared this quote 2 years ago, the quote being, and it was only appropriate that I said, you want to know what the great foundation for a marriage is? The three T's, trust, toughness, and teamwork. Mm. The message was about,
tenderness?
At the wedding, trust, toughness, and team. As Carolyn said, to be standing there in a wedding dress and tux, and we're getting married, and Frank Reich is telling us, trust, toughness, and team. So he gave them a football speech at their wedding.
My dad actually kind of did a football speech at my wedding, if we recall.
So, lots of dads do that, yeah.
So his
I've heard one with... Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I am divorced. No, that's not.
In 2021, Parks Frazier got promoted to assistant quarterbacks coach. Does anybody remember how the Colts season ended in 2021?
No, I
know
not.
This,
really,
I know this
really
because
funny.
It has... very deep significance to the Philadelphia Eagles. Go Birds. They
Thanks,
were 9-7 entering their last game of the season against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
You may remember last season. Were fucking
oh, this
terrible.
Is this one.
They lost to the Jaguars 26-11. Here is Carson Wentz's passing line. 17 of 29 for 185 yards, one touchdown, one pick, and six sacks.
I love the ghost story voice you're using for this.
By doing this, the Eagles had secured from the Colts a first-round pick for Carson Wentz, which seemed like a fucking miracle at the time. But it relied on two things. One, Carson Wentz had to play a certain amount of games. And at some point during the season, the Colts weren't that good. And there was a question of sort of like, should they just shut him down so they don't have to give up this first round pick? Well, they didn't do that. And they sort of crawled back into the race. And then, of course, the second thing is, where does that pick fall? If you make it into the playoffs, that pick can get better and better. If you lose to the Jaguars and miss out on the playoffs, that pick is solidified in like the middle of the first round, which is what the Eagles got. Now, for all their trouble, where is Carson Wentz now? He's not a fucking Indianapolis Colt. Now, honestly, he might be glad about that at this point.
Also, yeah. After that Jags game, I believe it was Jim Irsay who was like, I swear to God, I don't care how much cocaine I have to do, we will never, ever lose to the goddamn Jaguars ever again.
Please expand on that.
They have since lost to the Jaguars.
Did they get shut out this year by the Jaguars? Did I make that up?
This is the most this is the most NFL shit to me too, because Irsay'd kind of been on a streak of like, wow, I'm gonna do things the right way. I'm gonna be the guy who gets Dan Snyder up out of the paint.
That's why this happened. That's why this happened.
It's all cosmetic. It's all cosmetic, and then all of a sudden, back to the old me.
I want this.
A guy named Parks.
No, you're mistaking the cycle here. What happened was this. For years, the line on Dan Snyder was, you can't get him out. He's entrenched, he'll never sell. He is immune to any sort of shame or punishment. You just have to fucking deal with him. Jim Irsay comes out and is like, I think we should move on. I think we should get Dan Snyder out of the fucking paint. And it looks like that's starting to work. And drunk on power, Jim Irsay is like, my best friend will become the coach.
Drunk on power and horse tranquilizers mixed with shit.
Tranquilizers and cocaine.
Also, the beginning of the Colts season is even funnier than I remember. They started by tying the team that comes the like every year people do the thing, could the best college team beat the worst NFL team, and everyone has, you know, no, that's wrong, that's impossible, I am very smart, you know, this is the first one you have to actually like, yes we fucking get it, we all know the professional athletes, stop acting like you're the first person to figure that out. This is the one team that actually makes you think, I don't know. The Houston Texans, the Colts tied that team to start the season after swearing they were above the Jacksonville Jaguars of the world. They followed this, but they followed up tying the Georgia Bulldogs by getting the shit kicked out of them 24-0 to those very same Jacksonville Jaguars before beating the Chiefs. What a run.
Another amazing thing about Jim Irsay, and I think this is true for a lot of people who've had substance abuse issues, is that drugs didn't really bring this out of him. Jim Irsay's been like this sober. Like, he's just this dude. He's going to do this kind of shit.
So Sam Ellinger now got to enjoy the entire Tom Herman run, pretty much at
we're back
at Texas, and is now gets to be the starting quarterback for this.
For Jeff Saturday.
Jeff Sunday now.
Thank you to the NFL. Usually we don't talk about the NFL this much, but I'm really glad that they've given us a race.
They do collegiate ass shit, I think, more than we, you know, more than we give them credit for.
This is our way of saying,
I can't think of when is the last time like a Power Five college team has done this. I don't mean just hire some rando. I mean hire somebody who's like literally not a coach.
Like, even Herm did not qualify, and that was the weirdest shit we had seen in ages.
The closest you get is every time, this is the easy example, but every time people are like, Tennessee should just hire Peyton. Tennessee should just make Peyton head coach. But they haven't. It didn't happen.
Like, honestly, the closest might be a few years ago when people were saying just hire Deion. But
now Deion is
like worked among, like, you know, worked in proximity to football athletes as an instructor, sort of. But, like, you know, and now is an experienced head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get – that's the thing. If you hire –
this might actually – oh, my God. Hmm. You weren't talking about never having told a joke. Jim Irsay just hired a dude because he had kind eyes.
Yeah.
He does have kind eyes.
He does have incredibly kind eyes.
This is more college than college football, and for that we must respect the NFL.
Mm.
Not going to be a Colts fan, though.
The Absolutely shield is strong.
Not. I mean, they tried to get Matt Ryan killed, so I don't really...
Oh, God, I forgot.
I can't say I'm a fan.
Sorry, I got sidetracked and forgot to mention the actual nadir of my unwanted Jeff Saturday conversation yesterday was somebody listing off... Well, you know, if they're going to pull somebody who's unknown and they start listing all the reasons all these other Indianapolis figure they wouldn't work, and they're like, and, you know, nobody remembers Johnny Unitas, and I'm like, that's problem B when you're talking about wanting to hire Johnny Unitas, who's... and I started... It kind of got me thinking, has YouTube just flattened our notion of linear time?
Yes.
Like, just because you can see Johnny Unitas on television, do you think that means he's alive?
How long do you think Johnny Unitas has been dead?
I know this because, Ryan, Johnny Unitas is godfather.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, this is why I know he's been dead since 2003, because we were juniors in college.
It's been a long time.
I still like the idea, though.
It's outside the box and inside another one.
I like the timing of the Colts move, at least.
Yeah.
Jeff Saturday getting the incredibly random hire that no one understands. Because they get to play the Raiders, the team that is capable of blowing any lead. Like, the Las Vegas Falcons is who you're getting to trot out against in your very first NFL game. Why not, man?
Oh, that does put it into rather stark contrast.
This also, in preparing the game we just concluded, it also made me realize we've had some movement on our hot seat draft. Our number one pick across the board, Brian Harsin, successfully dumped. I think the first coach that any of us picked who got fired was actually one of Spencer's when Will Healy got fired.
Yep.
And Jeff Scott, who I picked, just recently got canned. I don't think anybody else on this list has been shown the door as of yet.
How are our playoff picks
doing? So based on that scoring system,
Harsin
is now worth 3 points.
Correct.
Healy's now worth 2. Scott's now worth 1.
Yeah.
So Spencer's in the lead.
Correct.
Well, that's upsetting.
We've still got Jimbo, Tom Allen, Pat Narduzzi, Brady Hoke, Pat Fitzgerald, Mel Tucker, Sark. Sark's not happening.
God, this dinner party sucks.
Scott Satterfield.
Nightmare blend rotation.
Scott Satterfield is Butch off Jones. That list, brother.
That's Nightmare blend rotation is the rival conference to the Kudzu conference.
Here's the thing. You say Scott Satterfield is on that list, and I say any team, any program that's like, well, let's see what happens in the Virginia game is not that committed to you in the first place. I think they are looking for any thin excuse. Butch Jones, Brent Venables, Jake Spavital, Neil Brown. That one could be happening for sure. Eli Drinkwitz. I think that one's fine.
West Virginia might be. Never mind. I'll talk about it a little bit.
And
West Virginia might be making a couple changes in that athletic department.
Man, sure. I'll tell you what. Picking Boise State here was a real genius move by me. Like, you're going to finish like fucking ranked.
We all have one bad pick. Pat Narduzzi is my bad pick. Sark is Holly's bad pick.
Venables. I have Venables as my bad
Venables
pick.
I don't think that was a bad pick.
No. Based on the information that we had. That was a great pick at the time.
No.
Based
I just
on
mean,
the information available.
Yes, I just mean a pick that has proven itself not to pan out.
Like, at the time... Spencer took a flyer pick that immediately proved itself out and then is clawing its way back.
No, his Butch Jones pick is stupid.
I still defend my Butch Jones pick based on solely on the criteria of mad fireable. Extremely fireable.
Okay.
It's just because he always looks...
That's right. Just look at a picture
like that.
Of him.
Yeah,
mad fireable.
I don't know if anybody has... Is there anybody who we wouldn't have picked then who now you're like, I don't know?
Anybody who's like in danger?
Yeah, sure.
Someone who has entered our
fallen into the zone.
This is public now, can we talk about the Gruden thing that happened today?
Sure.
Yep. Can we,
let's go right back to the Raiders.
It all comes back to the Raiders, baby.
Jason Spencer, did you see the beautiful Leroy Jenkins thing that happened at the USF press conference?
I don't think I would ever watch a USF press conference.
Congratulations on all your success. Yes, that's a wise course that you've set for your life. But what you missed was apparently Gruden is getting a serious look at USF, and they're being so not sneaky about it that
It was at the AD was giving a press conference, and before he could even give his opening statement, some member of the press was like, "Are you going to hire John Gruden?"
Yes, this is if you want to go look at this. This is Matt Baker at the Tampa Bay Times on Twitter, and this is again before he even gets his opening statement in. So what's up with the Gruden thing?
This led me to a haunting discovery, which is that John Gruden, despite winning a Super Bowl in Tampa, left that franchise with a worse winning percentage than he did his first go-around with the Raiders. he has continually gotten worse as a head coach over time. Does he have meaningful recent college experience? Nope.
So he has like a half life?
Like, I think the only argument for John Gruden to USF is that USF will be in the news for some dumb shit in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's about, like, that I guess is the strike against Jeff Scott, is that USF was only in the news for being bad at football. And with John Gruden, it'll be some incredible NCAA nonsense that they get themselves into.
Yeah.
Or also weird sex emails to send to NFL people and the CEO of Hooters.
Hey, no tradition like a new tradition. Oh, he's moving closer to the Hooters hive if he comes.
I think he lives, I think he still lives there. I think he still lives in Tampa.
That's much less interesting.
Yeah, remember in his
but it does make sense.
In his post-coaching career, his idea of fun was to go to an office park off Dale Mabry, go into a tiny rented office, and watch film at 5 in the morning. That is what he did for fun when he did not have a job.
I know we make a lot of Sims jokes, but oh my God, that's depressing.
Also, I want this
to happen. What do you think is the most complicated dish John Gruden could cook?
Something out of a box, but with a little razzle dazzle on it,
like Zatarain's
rice.
Yeah, or like
rice
cerroni. You know,
yes,
it's exotic.
Yeah. Yeah, something like, hey, look, mac and cheese, but look at the pork rinds from the gas station I put on it.
Well, would you eat? Would you eat a piece of fish prepared by John Gruden?
Fish, 100% no.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
That should actually be a good like search firm question. Final sign off on anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was the source of his acumen as and reputation as a play caller. Was like, ooh, he's a master of the West Coast offense. We got Rich Gannon, and he just used like he used the same playbook everyone else used in 1997, and then he never really changed it. Like I remember in film rooms, he'd go, "You guys are doing a bunch of interesting stuff with this zone read. I'm gonna go learn about it." And he'd go learn about it. And next season, it was like, "Nope, split back protection, slants." Like that was it. He's like, he never.
I'm so good at Mad Mode 2.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So like in any video game, sports or otherwise, there's this evolving meta, right? Where like this is the shit that works, so this is the shit everyone does. There was a point in time where the meta lined up with the one thing John Gruden is a genius at, right? It was suddenly the dink and dunk meta. Bam! John Gruden is the best coach. And all of football has spent like 20 years convincing themselves that John Gruden's shit still works.
It's refusing to drift in Mario Kart because you learned on Super Nintendo and you think that makes you a purist.
God.
And he would always run to veterans. Always. Dude, never. What possible, just to make this case even worse than recent events and email disclosures would, on the football field, what evidence would you have of this person being able to raise a young quarterback from a boy to a man? Okay, if I wanted somebody who could do that, you look for, not saying he's available, a Chris Peterson, a Lane Kiffin. God, sure. Lane Kiffin can get anyone to play
Lane
quarterback.
Lane Kiffin got Jonathan Crompton game ready. Whatever else you have to say about Lane Kiffin, and I have fucking plenty to say, he got Jonathan Crompton into a competent quarterback. I watched it fucking happen. It was weird,
but it happened. Listen, I tried to throw a cornhole bag 75 feet yesterday, okay? And I did not make it because I suck. I'm terrible. I can't throw very far. And do you know what? Lane Kiffin would be like, okay, so we're going deep on this first play. And I'm like, how's that going to work? He's like, we're going to make it work, bro. And I would throw for 250 yards. I don't know how, but he would make it happen. Meanwhile, John Gruden, if you want to look at the list of quarterbacks that this dude had. Brad Johnson, who, by the way, Brad Johnson is like maybe one of the foremost trick shot people in the world right now.
Sure.
He's incredible. He's very accurate, and he was perfect for that system because he can throw it 18 feet on a dot, and that's why they were successful. But when it came to actually find a new dude, Brian Greasy, Chris Sims again, Tim Rattay, Bruce Gradkowski.
Chris Sims minus
Jeff Garcia. My brother,
Chris Sims minus is just Chris Winkie.
My brother, you can keep digging in that bargain bin. Yeah. It ain't there.
Yeah.
It ain't there. I don't care how deep you go. This is not somebody who would arrive to the facilities in Tampa, see a 19-year-old and go, hey, we got good things coming. No, he's not going to be able to do it.
Just imagine his patience and understanding and all that type of shit with a college freshman who, like, makes a football mistake, right? Went to some high school where they just threw the ball all around, and he knows the names of seven plays, and that's fine because that's all he's ever needed to know. Mm-hmm. And John Gruden comes in with his filing cabinet full of bullshit, and it just and expects that kid to be perfect at all of it. Like, come on, man.
Like, who is this supposed to appeal to? 48-year-old Bucks fans?
That's the question I was really...
Hooters franchisees. Like,
this is... Well, no, because this is ultimately, you know, this is all ultimately entertainment. Hiring the coach is a piece of that entertainment. Who is the audience for this hire?
Well, and if you do the bud thing where you're like, when do current recruits... Mm-hmm. Do they remember? No. They don't remember the 2002 Bucks. Absolutely not.
More crucially, this isn't a joke. He's not relevant to a version of Madden that they play.
No. No.
Who
might bring
be?
Monty Kiffin in, though. That'd be
yeah,
good.
That- Monty, listen, I would respect
call this
that.
The Tampa,
respect
they call
that.
Him the Tampa Coot.
Yeah, because...
Lane, we said Coot.
Monty would at least normalize nap time. They're like, sorry, it's 2 o'clock.
Time for everyone to
between Monty and Gruden, they sleep 8 hours a night.
Yeah. Thank you for the notion that they're both sound like colicky babies.
Is it Monty God, seven and on. A half?
Yeah, yes, Monty seven correct. And a half and Gruden. Yeah. Also, can I just
Honey,
like
will you get up and burp Gruden?
If Gruden like. If you want to know why he's not good at his job anymore, just look at the amount of sleep. Like, if he was ever really good at his job is a question. But I'm convinced anybody who is on that, like, alpha male grind set, no sleep, 80s bullshit.
Baby needs a white noise machine. Can we get him a fan?
Yeah. Anybody who did that, I'm just convinced they're diminishing returns on sleep. Right? Like, there's a certain Twitter owner who always brags about that. And I'm like, brother, it seems like you're pretty sleep deprived.
What are we talking about?
So, like, if... He no, was I mean, actually this big, about. Like if he was actually this big of a football genius, he wouldn't need to work 167 hours a week.
That's correct.
Well, he's also John Gruden. By the time next football season rolls around, John Gruden will be 60. Why are you hiring a 60-year-old John Gruden? What is the point of that?
He's ripened.
I buy candles when they've been burned all the way down.
But Jason, the difference is you're asking a 60-year-old coach to now learn how to... Oh, my God.
A 60-year-old coach to learn recruiting.
I didn't say it's a good idea. I'm just saying there's so many old guys.
But you know what? Again,
that is true.
We're talking about USF, and that in and of itself is a huge win.
Listen, heck, man, we're talking about him right now.
Listen, man, go find me some old bullshit artist. Go find me some fraudster who's going to turn this around, schedule Incarnate Word 3 games a year, and get this to, 8-4 overnight based on absolute scammery. That's what I want.
You know who's still alive? Jackie Sherrill. Go get Jackie Sherrill.
That is true.
Okay.
Jackie Sherrill shows up with a gun. I'm serious.
Now, Jackie Sherrill, there's
Tampa,
a man.
It's fine.
There's a guy who knows how to get a bull moving. There's a guy who knows which part of the bull to grab hold of.
God damn it.
Just Google it.
Google it with images on.
Like if you're gonna go this way, if you're gonna hire Jeff Saturday or John Gruden, just go real fucking weird with it. Just be like Pat Riley's the new head coach.
This is okay.
We're South Florida after all.
Yeah, it's fine. He's a winner. He's won at South Florida. What do you want? He's gonna
wear
the suit on the sideline.
How far before you just start crossing sports leagues? And you're just Steve Nash.
The Brown, was it the Browns who did this maybe 5 years ago when they were like,
oh, she's
it wasn't a coach.
Stanford.
It wasn't a coach, but I think they made their, it was a GM who had a base, who was baseball based, I believe.
No, the Browns interviewed Condi Rice.
Does that?
Yeah. They entertained the notion of having Condi Rice. Then
they don't have enough problematics on their roster.
Yeah. Then they decided Cleveland football was enough of a war crime by itself.
They watching really this are shit just is dedicated already torture. To
yeah.
No matter who you think the worst fucking person is for any given category, we'll put them in.
Dude, this is where
that's an ethos.
If I'm the athletic director, I make sure my buyout is rock solid. I hire Houston Nutt, and he comes in, and I'm like, I don't want to hear a damn thing about what you do. I will talk to you once a year. I'm going to be on my boat. You're going to have 400 people on your roster. Some of them won't even be American citizens with the proper paperwork. I don't give a shit. You know, if I see syringes falling out of lockers, I'm not going
to
look.
What better part of the country to have a little league cheating infrastructure than Tampa?
Yeah. I have a 37-year-old man with no enrollment and massive PED issues starting at linebacker.
The whole team is Aussie. Somehow the whole USF roster is 38-year-old Aussies.
The most Aussie thing in the world would be to punt 15 times a game, win 6 games a year every single year, and then have like 14 points a game. That would be it. Be like, yeah, mate, that's real football.
Oi.
The idea of every year 25 Australians are like, let's go get business degrees in Tampa, Florida.
Hotel management, mate.
They all fall out of the same shipping container at the port, right? Like clowns out of a clown car. Oh,
riding their horses, or I don't know, scorpions.
It's like shit in there, mate.
They show
giant scorpions. Swimming up on scorpions. Giant scorpions.
There's like scorpion parking at Hooters, where USF's president lives.
I like that you're describing
just
like
little parking signs with the outline of the scorpion.
They're like, all right, doesn't Tom Brady go to school here?
Ollie is now conjuring,
I gave up on
like dirtbag Namor or something.
Yeah.
Listen.
They're all either dirtbag.
They're always on the lookout for a third husband.
They're all either dirtbag Namor or like strip mall toe cutter from the Mad Max movies.
Have we established with the new Black Panther whether they are letting Namor be Namor, or has the whole like changing of the guard thing overshadowed that?
Or whether they're gonna let Namor be like Mr. Steel.
Like is Namor gonna steal all the? No, I'm asking, is Namor gonna hit up all these women at a funeral?
They can't do that until they bring in the Fantastic Four in, right?
I like, mean, are they gonna? They brought in Namor before the Fantastic Four.
But I wonder if they're doing that so the audience gets used to Namor, and then
so Namor will behave until
Sue Richards shows up.
No, but that doesn't. Who is gonna buy him? I'm admit this because I'm holding Jessica Alba in my head, but who's gonna buy him like not hitting on Lupita, and then Jessica Alba walks in and he's like,
no, listen, Namor, respectfully is on the loose at all times. There's a storyline of the comics where, in order to, I believe, seal a treaty and a deal,
he's not respectfully on the loose. What are you talking about? Not in the comics.
No, in the comics he has an affair with a lobster lady, like a totally different species.
Respectfully.
In order to secure
Tampa as hell.
Consensually, yeah, it's all.
Oh,
yeah.
He's consensual, but he's not respectful.
Yeah, but he. But
he's
yeah,
lobster. The lobster seems.
Yeah, no. They kiss goodbye and everything. So like, yeah. If Namor is on the screen, somebody, it's danger, girl. Mm-hmm. It's danger.
Namor would fuck his doppelganger.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
I mean, it'd
be like it was
Momoa,
the best
so
sex of my life.
It's the doppelganger's Aquaman. So yeah.
Man,
you know, like that Rule 42. That's low effort. You just copy and paste.
All I do 34, is like paint.
42, which, I can't remember which one it is.
I'd like to reassess my notion of fucking your own doppelganger at this time.
Not yours, Spencer. Not yours.
No,
not
mine. No, just Namor's.
This means Thanos fucks Darkseid.
Oh, now we're cooking.
Yeah.
Deadpool and I forget the name of the guy Deadpool ripped off. So, yeah, a bit Deadpool would do that.
If we're going back to comics and Thanos fucks Darkseid, then who fucks Lady Death?
I'm sure there's some Marvel.
I just put us in a ditch.
Squirrel Girl.
DC Death.
Squirrel Girl.
Stop. Oh. Don't do that to Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. So, man, that is.
Unless you're saying Squirrel Girl is Lady Death's doppelganger, which I fully accept.
That means Squirrel Girl is as capable a murderer.
Like, no, true.
No one can defeat either Death or
just
Squirrel
as powerful.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Squirrel Girl also?
I think that's the comics equivalent of the it was Miss Argentina and Miss, I forget the other
Puerto
country.
Rico.
Miss Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the comics.
Congratulations
right
to the kids, man. We got voicemails.
That was our football podcast. Oh.
Oh.
No, yeah. What no, go ahead. What voice? Let's end with voicemails. I like
we have a I was asked to on Saturday night when I was an injury scratch with a thrown out back. I was asked by our good buddy Billy from Baton Rouge, asked me whether whether I thought Nick Saban might be the man for this job, and I was unable to address this on the air. And I told Billy that if he wanted to, he could take a swing at it. Serber, would you play 504?
Holly, Spencer, Jason, this is Billy from Baton Rouge. You know, I think we just have to have a couple discussion points here. And Nick Saban got handed a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. He got all the calls coming in from Birmingham, and he still couldn't finish the drill in Baton Rouge on Saturday. And, you know, I think it's just time to ask some questions about whether that man's the right coach to lead this program anymore. I'm going to hang up and listen. Bye.
He did it. He did it.
That was smooth. Thank what you,
William. What is more likely? Nick Saban loses four games and is like, fuck it. I'm over it. I'm not doing it. Or Nick Saban loses four games and is like, I am not quitting until I win another national. I'm not going out like this.
I think we all know.
Yeah, you know. He's coming back.
Okay.
I don't think there's any number of games he could lose that would convince him to not keep trying to win.
Okay.
Also, it's cool how close he's come to already losing four games this year.
It is cool. That is very cool.
Two plays away from Bama being 5-4.
Unranked?
Probably number 9, but yeah.
Yeah, number 9. Number 9 at 5-4.
Swear to God, if they're ahead of TCU tonight.
Oh, we listen on Channel 6 today, we ranked TCU number 1 just to like balance things out.
Yeah, they're going to play, yeah. I'm not going to say anything about the Ole Miss game because
don't look at it. Like, is that your attitude? Yeah. Don't look at
it. Yeah, that is correct.
It can't hurt you.
Let it cook. Yeah. If I smell something good, I might pop in the kitchen. I'm not lifting the lid yet,
don't
though.
Touch it. Definitely don't touch it.
Don't touch
I'll just say it. Cadillac Williams is going to finish off Nick Saban.
Wow.
That would be a real blow to a guy with a Mercedes dealership, I tell you what.
After giving out all those Escalades all those years, hoist on his own petard. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
My Chargers. Oh, my Dodge Chargers.
Rough episode for Chargers all around.
But we asked for...
But lots of Chargers. Productive Chargers.
Then we have what, Spence?
Just driveways full of Chargers. Sorry.
I think Ahab only dies when the whale eats him. So I think
what? Isn't that this season?
That's Moby Dick 2.
No, we can go lower.
You are going to say that you think this is not the bottom of the Nick Saban arc.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think this is the bottom because if I'm going by my rules for human behavior, it's that people don't learn and they don't change. This dude will not give up.
Okay, let me just ask the rude question.
He's learned and changed many times, but I agree with you on the
fundamentally
not giving up.
Yes.
Nobody has changed more than Nick Saban. Come on.
It's
now.
Like
but
at least
I agree
twice
with you on the never give up part.
Today is November 8th, 2022. Spencer, who's going to win September 9th, 2023 when Texas comes to Tuscaloosa?
Texas.
Okay. All right. There it is.
Quinn Ewers going to be there?
Yeah.
Future SEC honk, Spencer Hall.
Also, is Bryce Young going to be there?
Please continue to explain the joke.
Yeah.
I love it.
No.
Is a... So without Bryce Young, Bama's what, 4-5, 5-4 this year?
5-4.
It is such a weird experience to watch a quarterback dragging an Alabama team behind him.
I mean, so the flip side of this, if we're going to play this game, is that Alabama is not that far away from being undefeated. Right?
Yeah, but so is Clemson. No, wait, they got the shit.
No, Clemson is quite far away from being undefeated.
I take it back.
Update.
Look at you talking about little old Clemson.
So is North Carolina, right?
The fun part
that,
about next...
That is the scary part.
The fun part...
No, they both got the shit kicked out of them by Notre Dame. Picking terrible examples here.
The fun part...
Oh, I forgot about the Notre Dame-North Carolina thing.
This has always been a pro-Notre Dame podcast. Everyone knows that, and that's why people tune in. Where else would you hear about Notre Dame football on the internet?
We love police and Catholicism, especially Spencer.
Catholicism, the police of religion.
Tulane. Tulane is the I think the one loss team closest to undefeated.
There okay. we go.
Yeah. It, by the way, next year Alabama has to pick up a transfer QB. So look forward to that. Nick will love that. That they have Quinders. To go somewhere else for a QB.
Problem solved.
That would be the most Alabama thing. Go get.
No, go get Lane's quarterback.
We were very impressed by your audition mm-hmm. against us. Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome to the team. They take a bag off his head because they abducted him.
Can we find one more year of eligibility for Bo Nix?
Probably.
Can I
bring him back? Bring it back.
Can I wish cast, and I don't believe this, but
sure.
Can I wish cast for just a second the truth of Nick throwing in the towel this year and of him throwing it in fairly soon just so we get Auburn and Alabama open at the same time?
Wow.
It's a long off season, boys.
Wow.
David Shaw bidding war.
It's a long, boring off season. So, let us have this.
So how many, you don't have to come up with a list here, but like, what does that Venn diagram look like? What are the coaches who are good fits for either Alabama post Nick Saban?
I don't know, because
Auburn
as we've said for so many other jobs, like, okay, Nick's gone for what?
Sure.
Who wants that? Never mind. I'm sure many people want that job. I don't have the first clue who they would be looking for.
I do.
I can't see that. He's holding up his phone as if that's Antonin Scalia. I can't fucking see who that is.
Close. It's Lane.
Your phone.
Now it's just your settings.
His phone is just
that
bright.
That is a good photo of him.
Your phone is way too bright to be healthy.
That photo of him looks like a it looks like when you like take a photo scan a photo into like one of those like a Nintendo Wii face scanner type thing and it makes you look like just a block. That's what that photo of Lane looks like.
You know what, I will say this for Lane,
Nick Saban's body.
He has never adopted an accent.
Okay, so Spencer, since you've brought it up, is Lane Kiffin a better fit at Bama or Auburn?
I think he is.
That should just be the episode title.
I think he's a better fit at Alabama.
He is because he knows how the operation runs. I'm not gonna say he knows how to run it, but he knows how that operation is run.
Yeah,
the biggest key to a successful Alabama program post Nick is continuity of the machine, right?
Yes.
He knows where all the stuff is, and he knows who's going to be mad at him and who he needs to keep in line mm-hmm. and make happy in
order. He knows where the fences are. He knows where the holes in the fences are.
And at Auburn, guess where the fences are? Nowhere!
Fucking everywhere. And he also, in at least right now in Alabama, you don't have a two-headed booster core.
Yeah. I've also got
at least not one with two extremely powerful
schism,
skulls.
Schism, schism.
Oh yeah,
schism.
We're all rooting for Eastern Orthodox
Auburn. Auburn
fans have never heard any words.
We celebrate Easter on a
Orthodox.
Different month.
Then there's independent Auburn, where you just pray to the Auburn of your choice whenever you feel like it.
You can't spell Auburn without UU.
Wow.
Unitarian Auburn.
But yeah, that's,
oh God, it sounds dirty just to say it that
Alabama,
way.
Alabama,
I mean, they have two mascots. This is not,
we don't even have to.
The dog is the bird. The cat is the bird.
The bird is the word.
We are all the plains.
The bird
men
and
women.
They're the same but different. One of them can't fly, but they're totally the same. It's
Jesus
very important for you to understand.
This is God's tiger you.
Sometimes the tiger's an angel. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah,
it is incredibly important. We will kill people who don't understand it. most critical thing in the world to pretend you understand.
See, I used to not like it, but now like they're like, well, the angel's also a tiger who's also an eagle, and you're like, that's cool as shit. That's awesome.
It's like listening somebody explain a tattoo that they don't really know why they got.
Which is very Opelika. All right, so what happened was...
So it started as a tiger.
So first of all, you got to know that this means water in Sanskrit.
Yeah. But then Kathy divorced me, so I had to get that covered up with the tiger.
Well, I like tigers because they're like you know, like rawr. They're like, and like they like to hide in the bushes, and like, you know, so do I, and like and they can't be seen, you know, because they're out there plotting, and like, yeah. I got schemes, but also I like eagles because, like, you know, first of all,
freedom,
USA, you know, and I look up in the sky and I don't see tigers up there, probably because they're hiding because of the stripes. But, you know, I just want to be an eagle, but also hiding in the bushes. So that's why I went to Auburn.
Very powerful. It spoke to me on a spiritual level.
And you're telling me Lane Kiffin doesn't fit in better with that?
No.
Exactly. There's no way that dude has
tattoos.
Do you
see how many out-of-context Bible verses that man posts on his social media accounts?
Yeah, that's true. I will say this.
He's already the Auburn head coach.
If both jobs are open and Lane Kiffin goes to Bama, he will go to great lengths to let you know that he was offered the Auburn job and turned it down.
Uh-huh.
Like, he might go to an Auburn press conference to announce that he's taking the Alabama job.
Hey, best of luck to
ceremony.
You.
Switching hat. Oh!
Man, do you know the number one reason I've decided I actually want this to happen in this minute, and do you know why?
Why?
Because I really love the notion of Hugh Freeze being at Liberty watching Lane get one of these jobs, and he can't even get him in time.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
All
right.
There is beauty left in this world, my
Hugh
brothers.
Freeze, like, that guy's just a huckster. Look at him. He's just a hot air pious windbag.
Yeah, he's a huckster. He's a huckster who paid enough attention at Nick Saban's school for wayward coaches to learn how to operate a goddamn cell phone network.
Is Hugh Freeze Huddle House TV Lane late. Kiffin? Is he like designer imposter
so
Lane Kiffin?
Goddamn mean.
See, if you just
that's actually the meanest thing you've ever said in your life. I'm so impressed with you right now.
The best part is that if you had just like in terms of like what they're infamous for doing.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's not, the only thing is Lane Kiffin's been like, yeah, who gives a shit?
Right.
Well, that and a friendly sheriff's department in Knoxville, yeah.
Yeah, that and, you know, not conducting some business over a phone that could be.
I am telling you, that is what he picked up at Alabama.
He might have learned that from Al Davis, too, baby. If I'm being honest.
No,
I've told you too much, kid, now I gotta kill you.
That man cracked out an overhead projector. To fire.
What? Lane what Kiffin. If Red Skull owned an NFL team?
Yeah, we almost saw his Red Skull like skin peeling back off his face.
Depends on how long Jason Garrett stays in there. We might still get to witness that particular.
I want to know what steakhouse Al Davis went to, because it had to be the most old man classic retro steakhouse. It's like, what do they have here? Cream spinach.
Smoke.
Everyone here still smokes like it's 1968.
You have to wear a tie and you have to smoke.
How do you want your steak? Hard!
I want it to hit the plate and break it.
Crunchy!
Asteroid, please.
I want to feel it tomorrow on the commode.
Give me the adamantine ribeye, please.
I'll have it difficult well.
What are you going to do? We're all going to order port afterwards. The cheap shit. Because we're real men.
Port heavy.
Then we're going to talk about our wives in Normandy.
How much we hate our Normandy wives.
Our French wives.
Remember, D-day. Marceline, she stabbed me.
Divorce day.